Greetings in the precious name of our soon-coming Savior and Lord. Your speaker today is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And I'd like to call attention to a few simple yet very important passages from the Word of God. And I'm going to speak on what a Christian or a believer or a child of God or a saint may know. You see, there are those round about us today everywhere who say that as regards the future and as regards the eternal state, nobody can know for sure. Well, I'm sure the Word of God is against any such nonsense or thinking as that. And we're going to see now what the Scriptures do say about the future and the possibility of one knowing their sins forgiven, the possibility of one knowing that here and now they have eternal life, and how one may be brought into the possession of such knowledge. And so I shall read to you, first of all, from the first epistle of John, and this, of course, is the family epistle. And you would find in that epistle, well, there are seven chapters, in the first epistle, five chapters, and then a second epistle of one chapter, and a third epistle of one chapter. And in these seven very short chapters, the words know, knoweth, and known are found some 38 times. And we're going to see now how this word is associated. It's very, very important and certainly very precious. And we're going to think of it, first of all, as associated with what is the most important knowledge that one could possess this side of heaven. And I'm sure there must be some listening in today who have doubts and maybe uncertainty in your mind as to your present position and standing before God, and you just aren't sure where you'd be if you were called upon suddenly to leave this scene. Well, we want you to know that if you share the thoughts of God and you possess what God has for you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you would have nothing less than definite salvation, a positive salvation, and the assurance that should you leave this scene suddenly or otherwise, it would be to be absent from the body and home with the Lord. Now shall we read in 1 John chapter 5, and we shall read together at verse 13, which says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." How precious, how infinitely precious, and how wonderful to have that in one's heart and in one's soul here and now. And so the speaker can tell you today that he possesses that knowledge right at this moment. I know that I have eternal life, and I do not say that boastingly. I do not say it because of any merit on my part. I do not say it because of anything I have pledged and promised to God, but because of what He Himself has pledged and promised to me. Also, someone, I wish I too knew that I had eternal life. Well, listen again once more to the text, and I shall read it to you. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, which says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, I couldn't think of anything more precious, and I'm sure we couldn't find anything more simple and yet more profound. The very simplicity of it stumbles a great many people. Now, I want to go down the chapter just a little bit further for a moment, and we're going to further stress what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ know. First, we have been reading to you and pointing out, according to divine authority, that each and every sinner that has been saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ should possess the knowledge of salvation, and should be able to say, "Thank God, I know that I have eternal life." Now, it's possible to possess a great many things in this life today, and they may be gone tomorrow. But you know, what God gives to men and women who trust his Son is a salvation that will never be taken from them. Oh, no, thank God. They are as safe and secure right now as though they were already in the glory land. But if you will listen now, I'm going to read you a little further down the chapter, and that would be about verse 19 where we read, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness," or in the wicked one, a translation puts it. And then he goes on to say in verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true." Oh, what wonderful knowledge. And did you notice that word there, that strong word, K-N-O-W? "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding." Now, if you were to turn to Romans chapter 3, you can do it at your leisure, but you would read there in that third chapter of the epistle of Paul to the Romans this very striking statement. He says, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." And so, in order to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, in order to know that you have eternal life, it comes by the revelation of our Lord Jesus. It's revealed to one by the power of the Spirit of God. And may I call your attention, please, to a passage found in the Gospel by St. John. It is embodied in the prayer of our Lord Jesus. And, of course, that's in the 17th of St. John. You see, there's a confusion about that, too. There are those who think of the Lord's Prayer, as it's often chanted, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," and so on. Well, friends, actually, that is not the Lord's Prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. But the Lord's Prayer you will find in the 17th chapter of St. John. And in that prayer he says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." And so, in order to be in possession of everlasting life, you must know the life giver. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you do not know him today, we'd like to be able to introduce you to him. And yes, we can say that he is the lover of our souls. And we can say, furthermore, not only is he the lover of our souls, he is our Savior. And the speaker can say, "Thank God, he is my Savior. Save my soul from wrath and judgment and endless separation from himself. And he's given me the understanding, yes, to know that blessed one." Now, I didn't always know him. There were a number of years in my life when I was a stranger to that blessed one. And I'd have to say, as it's put in the words of the poet Murray McChain, who said, "I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. But free grace awoke me with light from on high, and legal fears shook me. I trembled to die." But friends, I thank God for that red letter day, that memorable day, that never to be forgotten day in my life's history, when I was introduced to the Son of God, when I came to know him for the very first time. I had heard about him. I had heard others tell about the knowledge of salvation and the knowledge of sins forgiven. And oh, how I longed to possess that truth in my heart and in my soul. As a matter of fact, I can remember when I was afraid of God. I knew that I'd have to stand in his presence and give an account of all my guilt and my sin, and I had guilt on my conscience. And I want to tell all listening in today, and I'm sure if you've never been saved, you too have guilt upon your conscience, and perhaps it haunts you, and you wouldn't like to tell your nearest and dearest friends about that thing that's troubling you, that's on your heart and on your conscience almost every waking moment. But we want to tell you today, upon the authority of the Word of God, you can have those sins wiped out, removed, eternally removed, as far as the east is from the West, and you can have the conscious knowledge of it. Now, in this epistle of John, we read to you just part of the scripture, and I should like to complete it. In that 20th verse, he says, "We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, and we know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Just imagine, if you can, all that's embodied in that simple and yet that profound text. We are in him that is true. You recall the Apostle Paul said on one occasion in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And Romans 8 chapter 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." That's a new position and a new standing altogether. And you know, for the first time you'd be able to say, that is, if you're introduced to him and if you know yourself consciously delivered from the power of sin and of Satan, accepted in the Beloved One, you'd be able to say, "Whom having not seen, we love. We love him because he first loved us." And there would be begotten in your heart and in your soul today a love to the Son of God. And that isn't all. Now, if we were to have gone back a little further in the epistle of John, and that's, again, let me repeat, in the family epistle, you would read there something very precious. And this is one of the ways, too, that we know that we have eternal life, that we know that we are in the family of God. You see, by our first birth, we are children of wrath, even as others, and at a distance from God. But listen to this. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And so all who are accepted in him, saved by his grace, know what it is to joy in God. We can say we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've never been brought to know him, wouldn't you like to know him today? We'd like to introduce you to him. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. Trust him today and salvation will be yours." Let's have a line from you. This is the address, Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.